flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, yeah. Look who's back in studio. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Monday to you. The definitely the longest month of the year, I think, is old January. We are still in it. Still got a few more days left of January. Then we turn the page to February, where we'll talk about the big game between the Chiefs and the Eagles. We'll do that a little bit. And then it's just kind of a... We're just kind of in a holding pattern, waiting for spring training for the San Diego Padres, which, hey, never a dull moment in Padres land in the offseason, certainly. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. Paulie, good morning. Welcome back.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. When I last saw you, I was dropping you off in front of your house,
yes.
And you were being greeted like a returning king. By your family.
I finally got the hero's welcome that I have always wanted back from fantasy camp. Now, it was a matter of happenstance. They happened to be opening the garage at the same time we pulled up. I did not tip them off as to my arrival. But, yeah, it was nice. Bo ran out, jumped in my arms. Taylor ran out and asked me where his presents were.
So that wasn't orchestrated.
It was not orchestrated.
T-minus 17 minutes.
Nope.
T-minus 12
nope.
minutes.
Nope. They were actually on their way to the flag football field. I was going to meet them, but we timed it out perfectly. Ben did get me home in time on Friday, and it was very much appreciated. I missed them terribly. But yeah, to have a nice little greeting like that from my oldest son was really, really sweet and special. He was so happy I was back. Thought I was going to meet him at the field and ended up getting a chance to ride with him over to his flag football game. So it was great. So thanks for getting me home on time. I really appreciate it.
Did I drive fast enough for your liking?
I'm going to say this. He had the pedal to the metal. He really, for him.
What, do we got up to 70?
He was about 85.
Whoa.
85, I think. And I was like... All right, don't say anything. It's like talking to your pitcher in the middle of
a careful 85. I probably asked Woods 7 times, you think that SUV is a patroller back there? What do you think? I mean, it's got that top thing, and I was always very careful, you know, staying in the slower lane when possible, but trying to keep my speed up. It was a complicated dance on the way home.
You could tell he was a little bit nervous, but he pushed it, man. He pushed it, and that for him was a lot.
No stops.
No stops.
We just plowed all the way through.
We really did.
It's a long drive when you don't break it up a little.
Well,
bit.
It's even longer when you listen to a golf tournament live on the radio. if you are
that got
listening
me through,
if you are listening to a shot by shot golf tournament on the radio, you have no idea just how excruciating it can be.
25-footer. It's going to break right to left. Rolls it up there. Oh, and he just misses it on the high side by a foot or two. That should be a tap-in par.
That's it.
For Harris English.
That's the whole... Paulie, the whole time. And there was a guy in the tournament. What was his name that drove me crazy?
Chris Goddard.
So all the guys... Goddard hits the drive. Goddard up. The whole drive home, I was like, can this guy finish his effing round so I don't have to hear his name anymore?
Goddard up was okay with you.
Pot Geeter, Lonto,
Griffin,
and Goddard up.
Chris Goddard up.
I swear to God. But yeah, I mean, and Ben actually made the point. There was our buddy Dennis Paulson was on the call. He's great, by the way. I don't know who the guy he was working with is, but Dennis is great. You can listen to Dennis read the phone book, man. He's going to make it sound interesting and dynamic. But it was, Paulie, it literally was, yeah, he's going to want to find the fairway here. And then, oh, he missed the fairway. Now, the rough here is really thick, so you're really going to have to come in steep, and you're going to have to, you know, fly the ball.
There's a little bit of repetition.
Oh, a little bit of repetition.
I would rather raw dog than just no music, no nothing.
So I was going to make the point on Twitter. I couldn't find a way to word it. Listening to PGA Tour radio is raw dogging. There is some that is raw dogging. I mean, I sat like this in the passenger seat and just listened to a shot by shot.
You didn't fall asleep. You didn't put in your earbuds. I thought perhaps that at some point you would crack.
No.
You just listened with me the whole way.
Well, I raw-dogged it.
A part of it was I wanted to practice all these names. A lot of kind of unknowns that were on the leaderboard at Torrey Pines. So I was doing the award ceremony yesterday, and I wanted to make sure I knew how to say the name of the winners. Pot Geeter and Goddard up and all these weird names. Of course, the easiest name possible.
Harris English.
Harris English ends up winning, so my practice was really pointless over the weekend.
I mean, dude, it was. I mean, look, I would have done anything to get home in time, and so I was happy to sit and listen. And yeah, there were some interesting moments. I don't remember them, but I do remember at the time saying, "Well, this isn't half bad," you know. But listening to
three quarters bad.
There was a quarter of it that was pretty good. Well, I knew it made the big guy happy. So as long as he was happy, got me home on time. That was great. Got to show up and went to Bo's game. He scored a touchdown and caught a 2-point. I was very happy to get home and see him. Then we had basketball on Saturday for him, and they got beat. I'd say probably 60-4, but they stopped keeping score after one team reaches like 24. Bo got a bucket, you know, won his first basket of the year. His team in three games, Paulie, has been outscored 88-8.
Would you say this is a coaching problem? Are they running the wrong offense?
I think it's a talent problem. I think it's a coordination.
Bad drafting. They don't have enough height. What are we looking at here? There's a rebounding issue like the Aztecs, so they're not boxing out enough.
Yes, it is. Ask me more questions and I'll tell. Ask me more problems.
Do you think they should be going, is it man-to-man or zone?
Yes.
What are we working on the defense?
Bo has no idea what zone means. So when he goes under to play zone, anybody that has the ball, he just goes up and attacks them. That's his version of zone.
Are they switching on defense?
They're not switching.
Staying with their man? What are they doing here?
I told him, I go, Bo, this is your area. Stay here. He goes, yeah, but he has the ball. And I go, right. But this guy's here. He's open. If you leave your spot, he's now open. They throw it to him, and he makes the bucket. He's like, yeah, but I want to get the ball. I want to get a steal. I'm like, look, I appreciate the hustle. He did not stop, Ben. The game is 32 minutes, so 8-minute quarters. Paulie, the motor on this kid, he only sat for 3 minutes. He ran the whole time. The other dads were coming up to him, dapping him up, going, dude, you're a beast. You are a monster out there. He was a pest, but he has no idea what he's doing. Zero. So he did get his bucket, so he's really happy about that, but they stopped keeping score.
Does he think in football that all 11 defenders should just blitz
one
the quarterback?
Guy, yeah.
The quarterback has the ball. We all go after him. Well, he's just going to throw it to one of the seven open guys out there.
He doesn't understand the concept of a zone defense. Why would I just be here when the play is happening over here? This is stupid. And so we did that. Then he had baseball yesterday, so we really did the trifecta this weekend. But it was great, man. We had a great family weekend. Nice to be home for you fellas as well, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was good to be home. I mean, I had to work this week. I have to make up for the time I missed when I was gone last week.
It's a bummer.
So I worked both Saturday and Sunday at Channel 10, but that was fine. You know, I got to watch all the college basketball on Saturday. And then all the football yesterday from the comfort of my my office chair. So
that's good.
Fine. Yeah, it was good. And mostly good games, actually, this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. Paulie, good to be home for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good to be home. Yeah. Megan had her hands full with just the two dogs, but two dogs with GI stomach issues. Like, literally, the day I left, the next morning, she was at the emergency vet.
Doo-doo.
To a T, every 45 minutes.
Just on the floor and stuff?
Wherever they could find a spot. And I said, better you than me, and I mean this sincerely, because you handle things like that much better than I do, I would have probably left.
I think you just weaponized, I've learned about weaponized incompetence. I tried the weaponized incompetence with my wife when the kids were, what, babe, why would I change the diaper? You're better at this than me.
No, she agreed.
It didn't fly.
Like, yeah, I had a whole system down, made it work.
The diarrhea system.
I would have just left. I would have said, we have no dogs left anymore. I can't do this.
Can I say this? Was at a restaurant Saturday night, an indoor restaurant, and there were about seven dogs inside of it. And we've gotten to a point now where people just bring their dogs in. Now, what if those dogs had the same affliction that Paulie's dogs had, right? And I'm there eating a sandwich or a burger, and that dog has diarrhea.
I would hope you wouldn't bring your dog if they were...
Why are you bringing your dog inside of a restaurant?
I don't mind a well-behaved dog at a casual place.
Even inside.
It doesn't bother me.
I love dogs.
We're
getting to a point now where it's just, I was at Vaughn's and I'm like, lady, you're walking your giant labradoodle around the fruit section that I'm eating. Now, I like dogs. I have four cats at my home, right? Like, I like dogs. I like animals. I'm not an animal hater. But I wouldn't walk one of my cats into Vaughn's and be like, all right, so what do we get? Oh, what is this, cucumbers? Let me grab some of these. Get some of these peaches. Those look fresh. It just, you know, it's weird.
I have one of my coworkers on the weekend. She brings her dog to work at Channel 10, but well-behaved. And if it makes her happy and makes work easier for you and doesn't really affect my work at all, I don't care. I don't mind.
Is it a service dog?
I don't think so.
Oh.
But it's a small little dog. It just kind of stays under her desk.
Okay.
So I don't know if she's supposed to be doing that.
But no living creatures with diarrhea should be allowed in restaurants.
Fine. If my kid had diarrhea, I'm not taking him to a restaurant.
Right.
Should we have a bring our pets to the show day one day soon?
No.
We can all bring in one of
Please
our pets.
No. Please, no. Please, it's just gotten out of control. It just has gotten out of control. Well, I'm glad, and dogs are feeling better now, Paulie.
Yeah, no, good. They were good.
Well, we are back. It's good to be back in here. I do like being at Fantasy Camp very much, and I miss it today. I missed it when I woke up. It's such a fun lifestyle of just getting up and going to play baseball all day. But we're back to reality. But it is nice to be back in the studio. You know, this is where I feel like we do our best work. I think our work suffers when we're out, though. I think we put together some good shows with some good interviews. Was very pleased, but I feel more comfortable in here. I feel more like Ben and Woods when we're in here.
Well, we got a lot to get to, so let's take our first time out, get some traffic from Kelly. We'll come back. Not only topics, but we got a bunch of giveaways and interesting news to share with you today. So we'll get to all of that coming up when we return with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a lot to get to on the program today. Obviously, we will talk some NFL football. The Super Bowl matchup, as Woods mentioned, is set. I think you probably noticed yesterday, the Philadelphia Eagles going to take on the Kansas City Chiefs on February 9th in New Orleans at the Caesars Superdome. Chiefs, of course, going for an unprecedented third straight Super Bowl title. And that's pretty crazy that not only has no team ever won three straight Super Bowls, and now we're gone to number 59, no team has ever actually even had a chance to win a third straight. All the teams that have won back-to-back until the Chiefs this year None of them have even made it to the Super Bowl in that third year. I think three had gotten to conference championships. They had all lost until yesterday when the Chiefs pulled out the 32-29 win over the Bills. So they will have that opportunity to make NFL history in just under 2 weeks in New Orleans.
RG3 tweeted yesterday, just to put it in perspective, the Chiefs have won 17 consecutive one-score games, which is insanity. Nine straight AFC West championships, three straight AFC Conference championships. Now they're in their third straight Super Bowl, going for the first three-peat in NFL history. I mean, you love to see it.
Think about Patrick Mahomes and all that he's accomplished. When he shows up to the first day of OTAs, training camp, whatever his first role is for the season, he's already penciled in to the AFC Championship game.
Pretty much, yeah.
Seven straight years.
Seven straight AFC Championship games? That's unreal.
It's insane. Insane.
He's now 17-3 in his playoff career.
That is astounding.
And 3-1 in Super Bowls, will have his chance to win a fourth ring already.
That is astounding. Who'd they lose to?
They lost to the... Who did they lose to? The 49? No.
Rams?
Rams, yeah.
Rams, yeah.
Sean McVay and the Rams.
Yep. I mean, he's spectacular. And we'll get into the game certainly, but you know, watch the first series from each team yesterday. And watch how Josh Allen played the first series, and watch how Patrick Mahomes played the first series. And you tell me that it's not, I mean, look, I realize and people were up in arms again about the penalties and stuff or lack thereof. We can talk about it. I did see some fairly egregious ones. But you can't take away from that dude's ability to lead his team.
I think that is a great point that actually hasn't been made enough. The Bills played well. They did not play a bad game.
They did.
Josh Allen didn't play a bad game. But that beginning sequence where the Bills, you know, go three and out, and then the Chiefs go down and score a touchdown.
Like, he should have been picked off twice.
like throwing wounded ducks into the air.
Most teams, you know, it's a big playoff game. You're lucky if you get to a conference championship once or twice in your career, a Super Bowl maybe once. You're going to be a little nervous, a little tentative. And the Chiefs aren't because, well, they're there every year. So they play, I think they play more loose in these games. They just feel more comfortable in the big games. The more they're in them, the more comfortable they feel, which continues to give them more of an advantage over these teams going, this is our one chance ever to take down the Chiefs. We have to do it. The Chiefs are like, yeah, we're here every single year. This is pretty much a normal game for us. And they look comfortable. And then the Bills settled in and probably ultimately outplayed them. But because the Chiefs were up 7-0 and had the ball then to start the second half as well, that tiny difference in those close games makes a huge difference.
Yeah,
and they're just a little more comfortable at the outset of these playoff games.
Yeah, playing at home is huge. I mean, yes.
Comfortable in the pressure moments in the fourth quarter because they've been there so often.
Somebody said in the chat that where the hell did it go? I lost it. Sorry. They breezed through.
They lost to Tampa Bay. Rams beat the Bengals, yeah.
That was Tom Brady. And Tampa Bay.
Correct.
So that's Patrick Mahomes' only loss. But SP Chula Vista says, yeah, they just kind of breeze through the regular season in the most unspectacular way. Yeah, they won some really, really close games. They rarely covered the spread. They were heavily favored in so many games, and they would eke their way through it, but they know how to win. And, watching those two teams go back and forth yesterday, it's Ali Frazier. It's so good. It's such good theater. It's such good television. It's such good football that is just, you know, I was rooting for the Bills. I bet on the Bills plus the 2 points because who deserves it more than the city of Buffalo? My God.
I felt so bad.
I was talking to somebody over the weekend and I said, look, Buffalo has, they still have the Sabres, right? Buffalo Sabres. So they made a Stanley Cup final years ago. They lost the Dallas Stars. I remember that. They got an NLL team like we have here, the San Diego Seals. They got the Buffalo Bandits. They decided, hey, this is a pro team in Buffalo. We're going to support them to the tune of 18,000 fans a game. 18,000. Guess what? They won the last two titles and they're going for the third. They're undefeated. That city shows up. The Bills Mafia is, the Buffalo Mafia is undefeated. And I just feel terrible for those guys waking up today. What is it? 1 degree. And they got to trudge into their job going, oh my God, we have to wait again and again. And I think Ryan Clark summed it up the best yesterday. He goes, man, there's going to be a gang of quarterbacks on the podium in Canton with gold jackets on that never won a Super Bowl because they are in the Patrick Mahomes era. And I said, man, that nailed it for me. It's so true.
Well, we will talk about the fourth down stops, the officiating, all the different little details of the conference championship games coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. Before that, though, definitely want to talk some Padres baseball. Obviously, we heard more from Jurickson Profar over the weekend. We knew about his departure on last week. We talked about it when we were at fantasy camp, and Woods actually heard that news before it even broke.
Yeah,
it was already starting to circulate around Peoria that Jurickson had made his decision. He did. He was introduced by the Braves, had some comments about why he chose the Braves over the Padres. You know, I think financially was a big one, but we'll talk about that coming up. Talk about the Aztecs. Absolutely out of nowhere, dominant road performance on Saturday night. We'll also give away some tickets to tomorrow night's game at Viejas Arena against San Jose State. Do that in our 7 o'clock hour. Don't do this. Our regular features, take on Woods at 8:20, chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. And don't forget, today is the day the biggest fan names begin to be read. So starting this morning at 9 o'clock, if you have entered our contest, and I don't think it's too late, if you still go to 973thefansd.com/biggestfan, you can get your name in. We will start picking names, and you'll have a chance to call us back and qualify for the grand prize drawing of the night in the Odyssey Suite at Petco Park for an upcoming Padres game this year. So the first name at 9 o'clock this morning. So stay tuned for that. Rindle Report, it's more of a regular week. Back in studio.
Yes, feels good.
Feels good to be back here and get off running. But we'll definitely get to some Padres talk from the weekend. They did actually acquire a player as well. On the 40-man roster.
Yeah, it happened on the drive home as we were listening to PGA Tour radio, but we did pick up a bullpen piece for cash, and we will talk about that certainly. Well, listen, you guys asked me in the chat, Woodsy, post your underdog picks. I don't know that I'm ever going to do that again because I feel like it was really not great for me. I got smoked yesterday in underdog, but if you're a California sports fan, underdog is now available to play right here in our state, the best place to cash in on all your takes during the playoffs. It wasn't for me, but maybe it was for you. Which players are going to go off? Which ones are ice cold? Hey, we'll regroup and do it again for the big game, certainly. But with their pick'em game at Underdog, you could win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on player stats like yards, touchdowns, interceptions, and more. I got cute yesterday with mine. And don't get cute. Just stick to what works, right? What's been working. But they are Underdog, the best place to play Pick'em. Download the app, sign up with the promo code Woods, deposit now, and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. Use promo code Woods when you sign up. You must be 18 and over, present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. We are. Terms do apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You see out there Padres fans, obviously there's some frustration in Padres world, and Jurickson Profar's comments over the weekend seem to inflame it a little bit more. I know you probably spend more time looking at the comments than I do, but I saw a lot of people say, hey, are you going to call out the Padres after what Jurickson Profar said? And if I'm not mistaken, go back to earlier this offseason. Coming out of our holiday break, when the lawsuit was filed, first thing we said, this is probably not going to be a good thing in terms of recruiting free agents this offseason.
Yeah.
Any hint of, you
unrest.
Know, unsettled and unrest in any front office is not going to be a good thing. That was like the first thing we said. We knew that this was a possibility, that this was going to make the offseason more difficult for A.J. Preller.
And I talked myself into getting Roki Sasaki despite the ownership stuff, you know, and he came out and he and his agent said, oh, that was the number one reason. I'm like, all right, bro, number one, nothing.
Stability.
Nothing you've said has been accurate. So I talked myself into, hey, it's Roki Sasaki. He's going to be making anywhere from $6 to $10 million for the next 5-6 years. His checks will clear. I'm not too worried about it. If he wants to be here, wants to be with Ruben, wants to be with Yu Darvish, wants a challenge, you know, doesn't want to join an already stacked roster, this is a great fit for him. Southern California, the whole thing, the smaller market, everything you said that you wanted to do, this is still a great fit. Ownership stuff will be worked out at some point. Not the only organization in baseball going through some of this crap and strife, not by a long stretch. So that one I talked myself into. Now, If I'm Jerks and Profar, it's a different scenario. I came back on a 1 year $1 million deal. I had a monster season. I am deserving of a huge raise. And I think while he said it, we'll play you what he said. Paulie's got the audio here.
You mentioned the Braves in San Diego. When did it become apparent to you that maybe you wouldn't return to the Padres, and you kind of fielded the interest from some of the other teams?
Obviously, the Padres have some issue with the ownership on all that, you know, and you know it was difficult to go back, but you know Alex showed a lot of interest in me, and you know I love that. I love that. You know, he gave me a lot of confidence, you know, to come to a team and to perform. You know, when people show confidence like that in you, it gives you a boost.
So I think it's safe to assume, I guess. I really don't like speculating and assuming, but when he says Alex showed, you know, a lot of interest in me, and he did. Alex Anthopoulos had him earmarked as the second best hitter in free agency, right behind one Juan Soto.
Now, you say things like that when you're recruiting a player.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, but you know, 100%, you're right. But I don't necessarily think he got the same interest from San Diego, and we don't know. Maybe it was AJ telling him, hey, man, I'd love to have you back. You know how I feel about you. We love you here. You're beloved by the fan base. You're beloved by the media. You're beloved by us. I don't know that I've got 14 per for you. I just don't know that I have it. I have not been okayed to offer you $14 million a year, Jerkson. And so if you can find that offer somewhere else, great. I'm not mad at Jerkson Profar for saying that. I think it shines a light on what Padre fans and really, frankly, players are feeling right now. And the proof is in the pudding. We haven't added a soul on the major league level. So he's kind of telling us what we already know. So I'm not mad at Jerkson Profar. I'm happy for Jerkson Profar. I wish he was a San Diego Padre, but I don't blame him at all for going out and getting $14 million a year for 3 years. You know, the comment that bothered me more than that comment was we were driving and a guy by the name of Miles Garrett TV tweeted, Profar says he spoke to Andrew Jones last year and told him, get me to the Braves. That's the one that bothered me more than, well, I didn't sign because they've got ownership issues. I'm sitting here going, now, technically, when was last year? A month ago? Was it then or was it in the middle of the season? Like going, hey, bro, if you can get me to the Braves, that'd be great. But Mookie Betts did the same thing to Manny Machado when he was on the Boston Red Sox. Hey, if you guys got more money, I'd love to play for you guys. He said the exact same thing.
Now,
I believe he told Don Orsillo the same thing.
Yeah, and I, you know, it came out that, you know, Jerickson growing up in Curacao was a Braves fan.
They said it's Braves country down there.
It sounds like
because of Andrew Jones.
Even, I think he's going to thrive.
He's going to be great.
Even our little favorite Kyrie was like, oh, you got a chance to go to the Braves.
Go.
That'd be really cool and awesome. I kind of agree with you, Woods. I would read more into Jerickson's comments. If I knew the Padres were offering the same deal, $14 million a year.
Yeah, 100%.
And it came down between the Padres and the Braves.
He picked the Braves?
I'm picking the Braves to the exact same money because...
The stability.
Stability, whatever.
Yep.
Then I'd go, okay, then this is a huge problem.
See, I disagree. I still think it's quite alarming that now that's two players that you had targeted or at least were connected to that have publicly said... That's the reason.
You know, but, with Roki, we know the target was there. I mean, you couldn't get a bigger bullseye on somebody's
And we know
chest.
The Padres offered not only a competitive amount, but more than the
right.
Dodgers.
So
a limited amount that
so
they could.
As much as I convinced myself that it wouldn't matter for Roki, it's like Andy says. He said it was hard to go back. How really does the ownership for the Padres affect him? It's either the Seidler brothers or Shield. Yeah, good point. I think, again, if the offer was comparable... Or if it was the same, I think he might have come here. But you never know. I mean, you never know. I know he was happy here. But then to hear that he told Andrew Jones, hey, man, start greasing the wheels for your boy. I'd love to play for the Braves. Okay, fine. Maybe he didn't think the Padres were had the best chance to compete like the Braves do. And bro, I looked at that lineup that they're going to run out there on opening day for the Atlanta Braves, and I went, yeah, you're a natural fit there, bro. You are a great fit. They're going to be a good team. My hottest take of all is probably based on some things that went down over the weekend too, and rumors that we've heard. We will see Dylan Cease starting opening day at Petco Park. It just won't be for the Padres. It's going to be for the Atlanta Braves. That's what my gut is telling me, and that's what some people have said over the weekend, essentially. So there's a lot of buzz around a Dylan Cease. He's a Georgia native. I mean, it makes too much sense. Now, what can you get out of the Braves? I don't know. We're not quite there yet. They've got some good prospects, but Alex Anthopoulos isn't going to unload three or four top prospects on you for a one-year rental.
Well, I think it's a good sign that, I mean, even if the Padres are, as they clearly are, operating under some financial constraints, that they're not just giving away players to lower payroll.
Right.
You know, that would be the biggest concern. If they had just already traded away either Arise or Cease or both of them to shed payroll and say, hey, we're just going to take a couple of AA players and cross our fingers. The reason probably we haven't seen any moves is that AJ hasn't received an offer that he feels is fair, I mean, or, you know, commensurate with the kind of players that he's dangling out there. And I would hope that if he doesn't get those kind of offers, then he doesn't make the trade. I mean, you wait until someone comes to you with a convincing offer before you move a talented player like a Dylan Cease.
Pretty wild that they have the Dylan Cease bobblehead announced for late in the season, the Luis Arraez bobblehead announced for late in the season, because, again, and I mentioned this Friday, and I was, you know, I'm trying not to get too drawn in these days. I'm just trying to keep my peace a little bit. But I get a little bit drawn in over the weekend as it pertains to everything that's going on with this team. And I said it on Friday, and I'll say it again. If you came to us and the fans that have, you know, now bought every season ticket, you know, you've done, the fans showed up last year. If you came to the fans and said, guys, we painted ourselves into a bit of a financial corner, which, by the way, I've heard owners say before. But problem is, we don't necessarily know who would even grab
Steve
the mic.
Cohen said it over the weekend. The richest owner in sports said, hey, we'd love to have Pete Alonso. We've kind of painted ourselves into a corner here, and you know, he's asking for too much,
yes,
and I don't think we should pay it.
Yeah,
I mean, he said that this weekend at Mets Fan Fest.
He doesn't like how it's structured, yep, and all that. That's Steve Cohen saying it. So I think if whoever the point person was, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, right now, today, in this moment, it would be Eric Kinsenda. He is the guy calling the shots.
If Preller had a deal to be made,
if he needs his sign-off.
Yes.
Correct. Yes. Okay? So Eric Kinsenda, who, by the way, didn't really want this gig, was not really the guy that said, Peter.
He was always a placeholder.
He was always a placeholder.
Least. I don't know his thought process, but we knew he was always a temporary placeholder as the control person.
And I do find myself feeling slightly bad for him, because it would be like me leaving you guys something. Hey, I'm passing away. You're going to need to do maintenance on my house. And Ben's like, but I don't want to do maintenance on your house. No, that's just what I've...
I'm not a contractor. I don't know anything about
it. We actually should leave something goofy for each other in our wills, just as a bit. But no,
You guys are going to die way before I do.
That's true. If it's Eric Kinsenda today that's making these calls, I don't know that he's even authorized to make any calls to do anything. So I feel like until we know who's in charge, they need to come out and say, guys, and I think Padre fans can take it. I really do. Like, we've taken a lot worse than this. Hey, we still got a good core. We are going to have to move some pieces for some more flexibility. It's just inevitable. It's going to happen. Padre fans can bear it. But this sitting on the fence going, are we going to keep Dylan? Are we going to keep Suarez? Are we going to keep Arise? Are we going to do this? Are we going to add any players? The unknown is what's making everybody insane. It's what's making everybody insane. Shoot me between the eyes. I can take it. You know, don't shoot me in the back of the knee and let me bleed out.
Can MLB approve the John Seiler move and while the litigation is going on?
I have no idea.
I can't do this for 2 to however many years from now.
Bro, I'm with you.
Like, I just can't do it. And especially if they're going to be financially constrained while that's all getting sorted out,
Like, bro, you can't just punt 3 years.
Correct. Like, yeah, of Manny's prime, of Tatis's prime, of Jackson Merrill's prime. You know what I mean?
Like, you know, and I think multiple things can be true at the same time. The Padres should be able to be competitive on the field at the financial level they're at right now.
I agree.
There's no reason at the level of spending they're at right now, they can't put a really good team on the field.
I agree.
That's one. The other part that is also true is fans are going to be frustrated when they see an inability to add and improve the roster.
The Padres
have to realize that no matter how many times they very logically say, our payroll's actually going up,
They can't keep saying it.
But this is my point. They are 100% correct in every point that is being made. And, you know, I saw Kevin Acey's piece over the weekend. Wasn't wrong about any of it. It's not going to change how fans feel.
No.
The Padres have to realize, and, you know, it's the handwriting's on the wall. Even Ryan Cohen.
Oh, Mr. when Positive I saw Ryan Cohen lose it, I was like, well, we're cooked.
You know, he should be, if I was working in the Padres office, Ryan Cohen is my litmus test.
100%. If he's
frustrated, then I know
there's
no way I'm going to be able to convince the fan base of this point.
Correct.
No matter how many facts I have that the Padres are competing at a financial level that is acceptable. It's the same as other, you know, teams in bigger markets. It's not a bad level they're at, but that's never going to satisfy the fans because you've made a spoil the last few years. You have, you know, you've chased this championship. You've gotten this close.
Yep.
And fans want you to see you finish the job. And to finish the job, it's going to probably take a little more investment going forward.
Yes.
Not a retrenchment, unfortunately.
Yeah, and not a bunch of raises. You know, we're going to pay the guys that are already here more money.
That doesn't give you more production.
It doesn't give
fans
you more
don't
production.
Want more money. They don't want more money.
We don't want more money. We want more players.
You don't want more. You don't care what the payroll is. You want more production. You want more players. It could be half the payroll. You'd
gaps
be absolutely
filled.
Happy.
Holes filled.
It's not an argument about what the Padres' payroll is, should be, what they can afford. I get it. Their payroll is actually at a really decent level. The problem is the roster is getting worse, and fans are frustrated by that. And they have to realize at some point that no matter what I say, AC writes, that's not going to change.
And
I understand it. Fans are frustrated because they see a roster that's not improving. It's actually getting worse because they haven't filled any of their needs in the offseason.
And you lost your heart and soul to Atlanta. And the reason he gave is because ownership is uncertain right now, man. It is just, I agree with that 100%. And in context, as Andy says in the chat, is king. Context is king. You know, we would like on this show, we haven't really lobbied for it, but it would be great to have one more person to do like an associate producer on-air role. If they come to us and they say, yeah, no, I mean, you guys all got raises last year because of the good year that you've had. We're actually putting more, but we have a hole to fill. Sorry, like we've already paid you guys enough. It's tough. It's tough. It doesn't make us feel better. And it certainly doesn't make the fans feel better. And again, I think if they came out and at least would say, hey, this, you know, the other thing I wanted to talk about, you want to talk about morale. If players are leaving and saying these things, what are the guys that are here and locked in? What are they feeling right now? What is Manny feeling? What is Jackson Merrill feeling? I mean, this is his first full year in the organization as far as on the big league level. What are these guys feeling right now?
I don't think they're reacting like fans are. Players look at it differently. They are confident in the group that they have, I would imagine.
Maybe.
I don't think they're going to say, oh, we need other players. The way I see ball players, they're all like, yeah, we're all really good. We're going to go in there and we're going to be really good, and this is going to be a good season. I don't think that they express.
Is that just something you say?
I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not a ball player, so I don't know how they really feel, but that's what, at least publicly, what I've heard them say in the past.
They don't
seem to view it the way fans view it.
I know at fantasy camp, we could have used a couple more players on our team. I would have given up some salary, Ben, for a couple more players, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, man, we could talk about this all day.
Now, you said the Padres haven't added a soul to the Major League roster.
Well,
that's not entirely true.
Unless,
of course, their newest player doesn't have a soul, which would be very dark. But we can talk about the move they did make right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So we got the news as we were driving back from Fantasy Camp on Friday that the Padres had acquired a right-handed pitcher. And my first reaction, I think, was the same as yours. Who? Who's that? From the White Sox? That can't be a good thing. Well, technically, he actually never pitched for the White Sox.
Correct.
He was claimed by the White Sox and then bought from the Padres with cash from the White Sox. He's a right-handed pitcher named Ron Marinaccio.
Oh, there he is. All right, so I did, as a good journalist, I'm not a journalist. Stop calling me one. I went and did my research, and I pulled several different interviews of Ron
Marinaccio.
And I got about seven different versions. There is
Marinaccio.
There's Marinaccio. There's one guy just goes, all right, I'm here with Yankees reliever Ron Marinaccio. And you had a great day today. Two and a third scoreless innings. I swear to God, he just Ron Marinaccio and went right through it.
Ron Maraschino.
But yeah, it was like Marinaccio. Marinaccio.
I mean,
Marinaccio.
Focaccia, so yeah, probably focaccia. Marinaccio.
Yeah, you don't
right?
say focaccia. You don't say
focaccia. Focaccia. So it's focaccia, so it's Marinaccio, right?
So I looked him up. I looked at Meredith Marakovic interviewing him. No one says it the same. So I guess we're just going to ask him at spring training when we meet him. Ron, what is the definitive way to say your last name? My guess is Marinaccio.
Not sure what role they have in mind for him. It actually looks like a fairly savvy pickup.
He looks pretty good.
He has really strong reverse splits for a right-hander. He gets left-handers out really well. Righties, not so much, but you could almost use him as like a left-handed specialist out of the bullpen based on the splits that he had for the Yankees, by the way, as a reliever in their bullpen where, you know, he was moderately effective when they were able to use him, especially against oddly left-handed batters. I don't know that much about Ron Marinaccio other than that, but sounds like it was an inexpensive and perhaps savvy pickup by A.J. Preller over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're making moves on the fringes right now, which is really all they can do. And look, I love fringe moves. I do. I think they're so great. After you've added a starting left fielder and a guy that can hit the ball out of the ballpark as a designated hitter and another starting pitcher, fringe moves get me excited. Big moves get me more excited.
We might have time to take some Padres calls later in the show.
I'd like
you just brought
to, man.
That
I'd
up,
like
so,
to. We haven't heard
do that.
From the
when
tier
we come
ones
back,
in a
though,
while.
I want to talk about the Aztecs. We actually have some tickets to give away as well. Big win Saturday night in Reno. It's coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.